Thank you very much, Pastor Phil.
That's water.
And thank you, Pastor Irene, and leadership of the church for this wonderful, honorable privilege to minister the word of the Lord this morning. I consider it a great privilege to be invited, and thank you, Pastor. And thank you for the opportunity for praying with your beautiful, brand new granddaughter. That's wonderful. What a wonderful, wonderful situation. Amen. Couldn't think of any better. God's greatest gift to us or our children. Amen. Well, first of all, God's greatest gift is His own Son. And then His other greatest gift is the ability to have beautiful children. Right at this very point in time, my daughter-in-law is giving birth. In fact, the baby is due at any moment. They've had to induce labor. It was supposed to have arrived yesterday. But, you know, being a Humberstone, they always seem to be late. And so it's been on delay for a while. So hopefully within the next few moments, my phone shall ring. Or I'd get a text message or something. Happy and congratulations, you've got a brand new daughter. So that's number eight. That'll be number eight. Eight grandchildren. Can you believe it? And you know that some of you are looking at me and you think, gee, he's too young to be a granddad. I didn't think he was a day over 45. All right. If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me, please, to Isaiah, reading from verses, Isaiah 43, and we'll read from verse 18. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm very aware of that. But nevertheless, something that we constantly need to be reminded of, that God's love towards us is steadfast, and that He's always encouraging us to remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, He is doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can we just bow our head in a word of prayer, please? Father, we thank You this morning for Your gracious love that You have shown towards us, in that whilst we were lost and in sin, You gave to us Your Son to bridge the gap and the chasm that separated us from Almighty God. And today, Lord, because You have become that bridge into the presence of God, we have peace and we have reconciliation with You through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, this morning that we can stand here knowing that we are adopted by the Father and redeemed by the Son, that we're part of the wonderful family of God. And this morning we've been able to celebrate family in the baby dedication and the honoring of You in giving to us the honorable situation of being good stewards and custodians to every good thing that You've given to us. And we thank You for James and for Marilee, and we thank You for their little baby. Pray, God, that Your continual blessing would be upon them. We thank You for the favor and the abundance of Your blessing that You have wonderfully given to this family. Now bless us, Lord, we pray, as we sit under the preaching of Your word. Give us real encouragement and inspiration. Pray, God, that we would not just speak lifeless words, but I pray that Your word would find a lodging place in the heart of every man and every woman here this morning. May we go from this place challenged and inspired by the ministry of Your powerful word. And all God's mighty, wonderful, fearless men and women of God said, amen. Amen. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Then He goes on to say, the Lord says that I will make a way for you in the wilderness and make a way and give you streams in the desert. You know, we often hear of wilderness sermons, and there wouldn't be anyone here this morning if you've been in the church for quite some time. We've all heard wilderness sermons. And there's no doubt that every one of us go through a wilderness situation. In fact, you may be going through a dry, barren wilderness experience right here and now. But you know, when often we speak about wilderness, we have the concept that it's, or the mindset that it's, you know, trials and tribulations and disappointments and despair and discouragement. Whereas in fact, you need to realize that that wilderness experiences reproduce and bring about new life. So it's not all despair. It's not all discouragement. It's not all trials and tribulations and hardships. But we need to understand that through the wilderness experience, it brings about new life. For example, we look at Moses. It was Moses who had been in the wilderness for a period of 40 years. In that terribly boring situation where he was having to look after his father-in-law's sheep. And it was just sheep day in and day out. What a boring existence. I mean, can you imagine shepherding your father-in-law's sheep for a period of 40 years? You wake up to the bleating of sheep. You go to bed at the bleating of the sheep. All day you're working with sheep, sheep and more sheep. How boring. I mean, you talk about a wilderness experience. But do you realize that it was whilst he was out there in the wilderness that he saw a bush that was burning yet not consumed? And on investigation, he heard the voice of God. He had an encounter with the living God. And as a result of that encounter, his whole life was changed and transformed by the power of God. But it all took place in the wilderness. His destiny was changed in the wilderness. And then, of course, you think of Elijah. Whenever you think of Elijah, you think of earthquake, storm, and fire. Yet it was the same Elijah in the midst of the earthquake, the storm, and the fire. It was Elijah that could hear the still small voice of God. And it was the same Elijah that confronted King Ahab and denounced him for his unrighteous ways. And then God told him to go into the wilderness. And it was in the wilderness that God had miraculously provided for him and prepared him for the next stage of life. But it all happened in the wilderness. And then, of course, you think of none other than Ezekiel. How Ezekiel was transported by the Spirit of God to a valley of dry bones in the wilderness. And there was a multitude of these dry, white, brittle, hardened bones. And God said to Ezekiel, prophesy life into these bones. And as Ezekiel was prophesying, he saw the formation of a huge army rising up. But it all took place out there in the wilderness. Life-changing, life-transforming wilderness experiences. And then we think of John the Baptist, who was out there in the River Jordan, which was where? In the wilderness, baptizing people. It was John the Baptist who cried out, I prepare the way for the Lord in the wilderness. And it was out there in the wilderness that he was baptizing and seeing people being baptized and set free in the rivers of the waters of the Jordan. And then, of course, we get Jesus, who was baptized out there in the wilderness. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then Jesus went out into the wilderness for a period of 40 days and 40 nights to do destruction against the powers of sin and death. He came into confrontation with Satan himself. He was tempted in every area of his life. But it all took place out there in the wilderness. And so, friends, when you think of the wilderness experience, don't despise it as something that's, you know, difficult and hard. Because it's out there in the wilderness that God is, even at this very point in time, building you, forming your character, developing your relationship, preparing you for what lays ahead. Amen. And here it was in the context of this message that the children of Israel had been out, they had sinned against God so badly. They had, you know, profaned God's name. They had disobeyed the laws of God. And it came to a point where the Babylonian captivity, there came a point where the children of Israel were taken into Babylonian captivity. And it was out there in this time of captivity where they felt that God was far from them, that God came with a word of encouragement. And he says to them, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. They were far from God. They had disobeyed God. They had disconnected themselves from God. They had come to a position where they thought that, you know, God would have left them by now. Because they were so steeped in sin and so far from God. They saw no light towards the end of the tunnel. They're thinking, why would God have anything to do with us? And in the midst of their despair, in the midst of their discouragement, it was the voice of God that spoke to them and said, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I am doing a new thing. And you know, friends, some of you, right at this very point in time, might be going through a wilderness experience. Perhaps you feel at times that you've gone so far that you've got beyond the stage where you feel that God can help you. Perhaps you feel as though you're in a wilderness experience of sin. Maybe you feel as though you're in a wilderness experience of bankruptcy. Maybe you're in a wilderness experience of sickness. Maybe you're in a wilderness experience where spiritually you feel so dead on the inside. You feel so dry. You see, you feel so barren and disconnected from God. Maybe right at this very point in time, you feel as though God's far from you. Maybe at this very point in time, because of the situation and the circumstance you're finding yourself in, you feel God's so far from you. You feel so dead on the inside. You feel so dry, so desolate, so far from God. How can God reach out to me in this situation, you may think. But friends, I've got good news for you. It's out there in the wilderness that God will make a way for you in your darkest moments, in your time of despair, in your time of discouragement, in your time of spiritual dehydration. God is there. He'll never forget His own. Amen. He will always remember His own. Despite what you may have said, despite what you may have thought, despite what you may have done, God is constantly and always towards you. His face is always towards you. Come on. That's good news. Amen, sister. Well, sister's enjoying the word. I can see that. She's big smiles on her face. All right, so you need to understand that it's in the wilderness that God will make a way for you. Amen. The second observation in this passage of Scripture is that God's unlimited ability to transform is far greater than our ability, our limited ability to see. In other words, God sees the big picture. You know, when you're going through a wilderness experience, all you can see are difficulties and hardships. You can't see a light towards the end of the tunnel. You can't see, you know, any hope. All you feel as though, you feel as though you're in this dark place and there's no avenue of release. There's no avenue of light and hope. But friends, the good news is this, that God's unlimited ability is far greater than our limited ability to see. In other words, God sees the big picture. All we can see are problems. All we can see are difficulties. But God sees the big picture. And listen to what the Scripture says. It says here in verse 41, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. And now it goes on and it says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I want you to understand this. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? In other words, God says, I'm going to make a way for you in the wilderness, and I'm going to make you streams in the wasteland. But He says there, do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Now that word perceive means to discern. It means to understand. It means to recognize. It means to distinguish. In other words, God is saying to the children of Israel, I'm on your case. My plan has already been worked out. At this very point in time, I'm working out your situation. All you need to do is to learn, to understand, to discern, to distinguish. And it's in the discerning, it's in the distinguishing, it's in the understanding that sets us free from stress and struggle and striving. It's in the perceiving that we know and understand that God is on our case. He's in that situation. He's working out His plan before you've even experiencing your difficulty, your hardship, and your pain. He's working it all out now. He's on your case. It's in the perceiving. It's in the understanding. It's in the discerning that will liberate you and totally set you free. God's basically saying, just trust in me through it all. I know what you're going through, and I'm already on your case. It's already been worked out before the foundations of this world. Amen. And so he's saying to the children of Israel, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, now, even now, even now it springs forth. In other words, already it's springing forth. Already my plan is in action. Already I'm on your case. Already I'm bringing deliverance. Already I'm bringing healing. Already I'm bringing salvation. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? In other words, right at this very point in time, whatever wilderness, whatever hardship, whatever pain, whatever experience, whatever financial destitution you may be going through right now, at this very point in time, already it's starting to spring forth. Already the answer of God is manifesting itself. All you need to do is to perceive, to discern, to acknowledge, and to understand that God is in control. Come on! And it's with that understanding, it's with that perception that you are liberated and totally set free because God is on your case. You know, so often when we go through difficulties and, you know, doing what I'm doing at the moment in ministry, it's a continual walk of faith. And it's so easy to look at the wilderness. It's so easy to look at the storms. It's so easy to look at the difficult situations and the circumstances. How am I going to be provided for? How are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? But you know, that's not our concern. Because God is already springing forth in that situation. God is already at work. He knows the situation. My responsibility is to acknowledge it, to discern it, and to distinguish that God is in the storm, that God is in the wilderness, that God is in that particular situation. Amen. You know, I'm always and constantly reminded of the children of Israel. And we all know the story of how, you know, Moses had sent the 12 spies into Canaan land. And 10 spies came back and they had a negative report. And they stood before Israel. And they said, oh, it was amazing. You want to see the land that we have just explored? Beautiful undulating mountains, green, green pastures, fertile soil, pomegranates, figs. Oh, the vegetation. You've never seen anything like it. Beautiful crystal clean water that flows from the mountain down the valleys and into the streams. It's beautiful. And everyone's getting so excited. Yeah, let's go. Let's conquer. Let's subdue the land. Let's go. But then they came in with the big but. They came in with the big but. And they said, but that's not all we saw. You want to see the inhabitants of the land. In our sight, they stand like giants and we like grasshoppers. Thick fortified city walls. Impenetrable. You want to see the weapons of mass destruction. For us to go into that land, it would be a suicide mission. We can't do it. It's an impossibility. For us to go in would be a suicide mission. And so from one moment, in one moment, the children of Israel went from a place of, what's the word? Ecstasy. What's elation? When somebody's excited. Excited. Expectancy. There's some more words. Help me out. Jubilation. They were so excited. And in the next minute, they were so discouraged. They were in a state of despair. They thought, oh no, has God brought us all this way out to die in the wilderness like dogs? And so they went from one moment of ecstasy and joy and celebration to a place of total despair. and discouragement. Words kill. But you see, they were limited in their sight. They didn't have good vision. But then we have Joshua and Caleb who said, hey, listen, guys, hold on a second. Before you start, spewing out all your garbage, before you go into the valley of great despair, let me tell you, has not God promised us that He would deliver the inhabitants of the land into our hands? Hasn't God already spoken to us? Let's go in, for we surely can do it. Now, Joshua and Caleb saw the same set of circumstances as the 10 spies. They saw the fortified city walls. They saw the giants, the inhabitants of the land. They saw the weapons of mass destruction. But they also saw something more than the 10 spies. They saw, acknowledged, and understood, and perceived, and distinguished that God was bigger than this present situation. Come on! You see, two saw the problems. No, two saw the answer. 10 saw the problem. 10 saw the obstacles. 2 saw the opportunities. 10 said, we can't do it. 2 said, come on, let's go in and take the land. 10 felt like grasshoppers when they saw the giants. 2 felt like giants and saw the giants as grasshoppers. Amen. What made the difference? What was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies? It's quite simple. They knew their God. They distinguished. They discerned. They knew the word of God. They knew that God would deliver the inhabitants of that land into their hands. Amen! 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 Amen. Amen. So come on, folk. We've got to learn to perceive and to discern and to distinguish and to understand that God is bigger than any particular problem, situation that we may find ourselves in. And when you feel as though you're between a rock and a hard place and there's no light towards the end of the tunnel and you feel your back is up against the wall, open your eyes. It's by faith. Come to that understanding and the discernment that God said He will deliver. And what He said He would do, He would do. Amen. Amen. So you understand then, friends, that if God's going to make a way for you in the wilderness, you've got to come to the understanding that God's unlimited ability to bring about change and transformation is far greater than our limited ability to see. Because at the end of the day, God sees the big picture. Where I come from, the Africans would say, God sees the makuru situation, the big picture. Amen. Is that right, sister? Makuru? You like that? Makuru is big God. Amen. So may I encourage you today. You may not see the big picture, but God sees the big picture. You may feel at this point in time your back is against the wall. You at this time may feel as though you're between the devil and the deep blue sea. But God sees the big picture. And His picture for you is simple. He says, I am going to make a way for you in the wilderness. Then He said, to set yourself free, you need to perceive it, to understand, to acknowledge, to discern, to open your eyes and see. Come on. Do you like that? And to know your God. To know your God. Amen. So, this is such a simple message. This is an ABC message. But, so often we get so stupid, don't we? We're so thick at times. We need to go back to elementary school. We need to come to that place of understanding. Hey, God, You're in control. No matter what circumstance I'm in, You're in control. Amen? Amen. Now, I just want to bring another observation that I find from this passage of Scripture. Listen to this one. I've got to learn how to use my iPhone. I don't know how to keep it on all the time. Keeps it going off. Does anybody know how to fix that? Okay. All righty. Okay. The wilderness is a place that we need to forget. And it's in the forgetting that leads to renewal. In the wilderness, forgetting leads to renewal. Verse 18, God says to the children of Israel, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And that's exactly what God is telling them to do. He's telling us to forget about the past. He says, forget it. Stop worrying about it. Now let's go back to the children of Israel. Here they were. They really felt that they were beyond the place of redemption. They had been so far from God for so long. How could God forgive us? How could God, you know, why would God want to have anything to do with us? We've been disconnected and isolated from God for so long. We have sinned so badly against God. Why would He want to do anything for us? And then He comes with this powerful word. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And they're thinking, oh, wow. You see, this is the grace factor of God kicking in. They didn't deserve forgiveness. They didn't deserve being liberated and set free from captivity. They were so far from God. But this is the grace factor kicking in. And God says to them, and this is the clincher. Listen to this passage of scripture. In verse 25, listen to what God says. Even I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. Hey, I'll read that again. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. So God is saying to the children of Israel, if I'm willing to forgive your sin, if I'm willing to forgive your past, then why, for crying in a bucket, are you remembering your own sin? I'm going to blot them out. It's God saying, I'm going to remember your sin and remove them as far as the east is from the west. They will be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness for all time and for all eternity. That's good news. That God does not hold our past against us. And there are so many of God's people who are living in the past, living in guilt and living in condemnation. And you know, friends, that's exactly where the devil would want you. He would want you to live in the past failure. He would want you to live in guilt and condemnation. That's how he operates. It's one of his greatest weapons at his disposal. If he can get you feeling guilty, if he can get you feeling condemned, then he knows that he's got a weapon that he can use against you and keep you down. Yeah? The Bible tells us that he is the accuser of the brethren. In other words, it's his greatest weapon. He'll remind you of your failure. He'll remind you of your unrighteousness. He will remind you of your sin. He will remind you of your limited ability. He will remind you of your limitations. You see, the problem with most Christians is they don't understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. You see, conviction will always give you an answer. Condemnation will never give you an answer. And condemnation is a weapon in the hands of the devil. Conviction is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that convicts of righteousness, sin, and judgment, and will totally set you free. The Bible says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And so God, by the power of His Spirit, He uses conviction to bring about change and transformation in our life. Whereas condemnation, the accuser of the brethren, he would tell you, there is no answer. Just death and destruction, shame and guilt. You'll never make it. You'll fall back into the same sin. You'll fall back into your own limitations. There's no hope for you. That's what condemnation does. You see, conviction, on the other hand, brings you to that place where the Spirit of God speaks to you and makes you aware that there are areas in your life that you need to make adjustment and bring yourself into alignment with God. And it's the Spirit of God that causes this to come upon you and make you aware that these changes are so necessary. And then it's your responsibility to do what the Bible calls repent. In other words, change direction. I'm an old military man. And I remember that on the parade square, we'd be marching. And all of a sudden, the constructor would shout out at the top of his voice, "Company! Hey, bud! Ah, check! One, two! One, two! Hip, 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 hip." What he may have said was, "Company! Repent! Company! About time!" And that's what God, by the conviction of His Holy Spirit, says to us. He says, "Hey son, hey daughter, you're not doing the right thing. But my Spirit's going to bring about change. That your responsibility is to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit and bring about that change." Amen. That's the answer that God gives to us. Condemnation is a loose end. There's no answer. Just condemnation. Just living with guilt. And you know, friends, what we need to understand is that when Satan reminds us of our past, we need to remind him of his future. Amen. Because he don't have any future. He is going to be bound. You see, the Bible tells us that Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking him whom he may devour. But since Jesus knocked out his teeth at Calvary, all he can say is, meow. Amen. Come on, friends. Don't allow guilt. Don't allow condemnation to screw you into the ground and to rub your nose in your past failures. You're bigger than that. And this is the grace and the mercy and the love of God. He realizes we've all blown it, every one of us. But He makes a way for us in the wilderness. He's a loving, forgiving, merciful, graceful God. That doesn't mean to say that we accept His grace and carry on living the way that we're living. If that's the situation, then you haven't heeded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You haven't repented. No repentance, no change. Amen. And so, friends, what I want to encourage you to do today is to understand that the word of the Lord says that if we confess our sin, Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and good and cleanses us from all we've ever done. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, forgetting the things that are behind us and reaching towards those things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, folk. Remind yourself constantly that you are a son and a daughter of redemption. You've been set free. Give me a big Zion Pentecostal. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, come on. No more guilt. No more condemnation. Don't allow the devil to deceive you and rub your nose into the dirt. You're set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what the devil wants to do is he constantly wants to come your way. And he wants to whisper into your ear. No hope. Guilt. Shame. Condemnation. And he'll hold it against you. In closing, I want to read you a little story. Listen to this story. It just wraps up everything so nicely. Listen to this. I'll put it over here so I can see it properly. Is everybody getting something from this message this morning? Does this mean anything to you? I mean, it's not articulate and got all my points, but is the message getting in? Listen to this. As soon as I can find it. A little boy was visiting his grandparents. And he was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. And as he came back to Grandma's backyard, he spied out her pet duck. And on impulse, he took aim and he let fly. And he released the stone. You wouldn't believe it. The stone hit the duck in the head. And the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile. Only to look up and see his sister watching the whole incident. Sally, his sister, had seen it all. But she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally! Will you please wash the dishes?" Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today." "Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered into his ear, "Remember the dead duck?" So Johnny landed up doing the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. And Grandma said, "I'm sorry. I need Sally to help with the supper tonight." Sally smiled and said, "Oh, Granny, don't worry." Again, she said, "Johnny wants to do it." And she whispered into Johnny's ear, "Hey, Johnny, remember the duck?" Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it any longer. And he ran to Grandma and he confessed to Grandma everything. He said, "Grandma, Grandma, I killed your duck." And Grandma says, "Hey, Johnny, I know." She said, giving him a hug, "I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." And I'm wondering today, how many of you are going to continually allow Satan to make you his slave and continually keep you feeling guilty and condemned? Remember, conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. Condemnation is the work of Satan. It has no answers. Conviction, on the other hand, will make you aware of areas in your life that you need change. God's Spirit will speak into your heart. The best thing you can do is to be obedient. Turn your back on whatever you may be doing and continue on serving God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I'm wondering today, as I come to a closure, how many of you here this morning feel as though you have been living with guilt and condemnation for so long? It haunts you. There wouldn't be a year that goes by that in some way it's all brought to the surface and Satan reminds you of some deed, some sin, some bad thing you may have done in the past, and you live in guilt and condemnation. I want to tell you that today, that must come to an end. You must come to the realization that there's a grace factor kicking in right here and now. And that as God told the children of Israel that he had blotted out their sin and remembers them no more, God's grace speaks to you and he says, "I've blotted that out. I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. Today is a new day. I'm going to make a way for you in the wilderness. I'm going to bring streams in the desert. Don't you perceive it, understand it, discern it, know it, and apply it to your life? While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I don't know you all here this morning, but there may be some here who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you may know about him in your head, but you've never really experienced the changing, transforming power of God in your life. You've got what we would call a form of religion. It's in the head, but it's never touched your heart. But today, you want to experience God in your heart. You want to know without a shadow of a doubt that your sin, that your past has been removed as far as the east is from the west. And today you want to make right with God. If that be you, please, why don't you raise your hand? Let me see that hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today? You feel as though you want to know God more intimately. You want a relationship with him. You are tired of living under guilt and condemnation. But now you're willing to come to a place where you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and bring about the necessary changes. Is there anybody else here today? Say, Lord, I've done it my way. I want to do it God's way. Anybody else here today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for all these beautiful people here this morning. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. God, as we just sit here right now, as we sit here now, let your Spirit come. Let your Spirit fall. Folk, I just feel the Spirit of God just speaking to you right now. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Come on, folk. Every one of us are a work in process. Some of you felt as though you've come under the onslaught of guilt and condemnation. You've lived with that guilt for so long. How can you forgive others if you can't forgive yourself? You've got to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Thank you, Jesus. Let the work of the Holy Spirit work now, cleansing, washing, renewing, doing something new in your life. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I am doing a new thing right now. Right now. Doing a new thing. A new day, new beginning, a new thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We worship you. We acknowledge you as our true one God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you have shown to us. In that, Lord, despite the density of our sin and our unrighteousness, despite what we may have fallen into in the past, or even now, if we're willing to repent and change, you're willing to forgive and to forget and to bury our sin in the sea of forgetfulness, never to hold it against us anymore. We thank you for the liberty in the Spirit, the freedom you talk about. We thank you that we can walk in the truth and the knowledge of this wonderful principle in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, there's a beautiful song, and every time you listen to it, I've just thought of it as I was praying. It's a children's song. Ava's going to sing it. She probably already sings it. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go. Amen. Let it go. You like that? Come on. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.